You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
It was hard because I didn't expect to have to do vocals. I mean, I can sing, you know, I can sing clean, I can shout, but I don't know how to do it healthily. I'm still learning now with Melissa Cross. She's really helping me. And my problem was I can't not do it from my throat. So, you know, it really hurts and I can taste blood after it and it's just really bad. So I was really scared about doing it in the studio. We had 2 weeks. We did 1 week's worth of vocals and we listened back and it was really bad. It was bad.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I hope you had a glorious weekend. I most certainly did because I was at Kanawaki Brewing because they just launched the brand new Cryptopsy collab, which was brewed as a part of Brutal North America Cold Haze Warm Blood, the double New England IPA with blood orange. That clocks in at 8.5%. It is delicious. It is only available, sadly, at Kanawaki Brewing, but it is most definitely worth the trip if you can get out there. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal is Montreal's premier metal promoter. They put on a bunch of sick metal shows throughout the year, but more than that, they also put on one of North America's best festivals, and that's the absolute truth. I have played festivals all across the globe, and Heavy Montreal is up there with the best of them. I am beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I'm very stoked to tell you that I've teamed up with Indie Merch Store to launch the official Vox and Hops merch store. Indie Merch Store makes some of the best merchandise, so it makes perfect sense that I got my merch up there. You can head on over to my website, voxandhops.com/merch. That's voxandhops.com/merch. Because there's a whole bunch of sick merch designs available for you there. When you're checking out, make sure you use that promo code VOXHOPS10, that's VOXHOPS10, and you will save 10% on your entire order. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you to tell a friend about the podcast. If you have someone in your life that is a metalhead that enjoys craft beer, well, tell them about the podcast. You can tell them that there are over 280 episodes for them to go and listen to right now with some of the world's best metal artists. And that those episodes are available for free on their favorite podcast platform. If you were to encourage one of your friends to become a future Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, in today's episode, I'm with Ol Drake of Evile. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 283.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Ol Drake of Evile. I'm very, very stoked to be with you. Let's start with a very simple yet complex question. How did you cope with the glorious year of 2020, which is now behind us?
I didn't. No, it was okay. I mean, I got to see the family a lot more. The upside of having an album in the writing process meant I had a lot more time to write. So we could, like, you know, if you release an album, you kind of look back and think, oh, I should have done that. We kind of pre-released it without releasing it. So it was like, okay, let's go back and listen to it now, you know, because we didn't have the chance to release it yet. So it was a blessing in disguise, I think.
Time, having far more time at home with the loved ones, which is amazing, of course, and the fact that it's not us telling our band that we want to be home for stuff and then being that guy that's putting, you know, the wrench in the spokes of the moving vehicle.
Yeah,
was nice. Last summer was very nice to spend a time at home. We're typically playing all the festivals, which is great and we love it, right? But to have a whole summer at home was something special. But now, after a year of it, we're ready to get back out there. And absolutely, I totally agree about having time to dissect what you're writing and really feel the music and having time to step back. And the labels, too, gave us way more time, too, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to be like, you know, you're releasing an album, but you're not playing any gigs, and usually you'd be in some shit for that, but
Now we have nothing but time, so let's just hang out. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their life, talking about metal, and talking about craft beer. Now, it's very early in the morning for you, so you're not drinking a beer.
I got like an hour's sleep before this, because I have to be up like maybe 4 hours after this, so...
It would be counterintuitive. So I'm going to drink for both of us. This is a Bading Badang. Bading Badang. I got that right. It's a collab between Le Brew Shop, Brasserie Artisanale, and Aral Buck from here in Quebec. It is to celebrate, I feel like it's their third anniversary or fourth anniversary of Le Brew Shop. This is a triple IPA, clocks in at 10.5% ABV. Shout out to PA.
Wow.
The Aral Buck rep for hooking me up with this one. I'm going to crack this one open and pour it out while you tell me about your very first beer. Do you remember the first beer you drank, Cole?
My first beer, I don't think I had beer first, which is hard to remember. So I think I had whiskey first. I think my first beer was something like a Carlsberg from, I think it's, is it Danish, Denmark?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And it tasted like shit. I hated it. I think I was like 15, 16, like, when we started gigging, like as a covers band, we'd just get paid in beers. And It was like, okay, cool. That's disgusting. And then I acquired
the taste. Where's
my
money?
Yeah, yeah. I acquired the taste.
I don't want this. Whiskey first. That's crazy. What's that story?
I think it's to do with our old bassist, Mike, who's sadly no longer with us. He introduced me to drinks like... He was a lot older than all of us, and yeah, he just introduced me to drinks like whiskey and coke, rum and coke. So yeah, he was a good bad influence.
Have you ever gone into the nefarious world of craft beer, the slippery slope of the world of craft beer? Have you dove into that yet?
I must admit, up until recently, I didn't like it, but there's a brewery near us in Huddersfield that does some really nice stuff, and I got a box set of like a collection of all of them, and I must say I think I am being converted right now. Yeah, it's
perfect. What would be the beer that the style of beer that really converted you?
Well, because I'm closer to, you know, lager beer, like the typical beer. Things that are closer to that, I think, are going to be my bridge over. You know, the strong ones, you know, the really dark ones, it's still too much for me. So I think I need to, you know, dip my toe in a bit first.
So a 10.5% mad hazy IPA may not be the best place to start. I can smell the hops from here. It's citrus, floral.
I can see the hops.
Yeah. It smells to me. It smells a bit boozy, actually, which they typically don't. I'll say cheers to you, even though you're not drinking.
Well, I've got water, but, you know, not vodka. I'll say it's vodka.
There you go. You're that evil. You're that evil. Juicy, boozy bite, but super crushable nonetheless. Killer brew. Let's talk about the soundtrack of your youth. When you were growing up in your parents and guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the music? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Well, my mom and dad were, you know, kids of the 60s and 70s, and we pretty much just had Queen, Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple. We had a painting of Jimi Hendrix on the wall in our living room.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was a guitarist in the 60s, and he was in a few bands. His band actually supported a lot of the big bands now before they were, like, known. So he supported Black Sabbath before they were Sabbath. They were called, I think, Earth or something.
Crazy.
King Crimson when they were small, and just all these bands, so... He's got some cool stories, but yeah, it all comes from my dad. I think he was a guitarist, and it was just all rock, you know, all the classic rock bands. Queen mainly. Queen was a main staple.
That's amazing to have that history and that culture in your household. Was it something like, was he still gigging when you were old enough to go see? Did you go watch your dad play gigs?
No, I only just recently saw him. He kind of stopped in the 70s because he had kids, us, me and Matt. And I think life got in the way, but yeah, he's really good. He's kind of like a, you know, Carlos Santana kind of thing. Hmm. He's more about bends than about shredding, you know.
Yeah. Feeling.
Yeah.
For yourself, to get into becoming a guitarist, was it directly because your dad was a guitarist, or did they come totally different? A lot of the time we want to rebel from our parents and do the opposite of what they did.
Yeah, I didn't want to rebel at all. My parents were fine. They were great. I think it was kind of a subconscious thing. I think guitar was there all the time because of my dad, mm-hmm. even if I wasn't interested at the time. But then my brother picked it up, and then I picked it up through my brother. And it was just always there. You know, guitar music was always there. And then my brother got into like Metallica and everything. And then it was just, you know, balls to the wall.
What would have been that first gig, the first show that you went to go see?
My first live show was in the year 2000, and it was Cannibal Corpse with...
No way.
Yeah, with Creator and Chrisian. And
wow.
I how old was I? 16. And I didn't understand what was going on, but it was amazing, you know. I remember Corpse Grinder was on the merch desk, and I thought, I'm going to go and buy some merch. So I walked up, and George looked at me, and like, I'm 16 and shy as hell, and I just like turned away and walked away. I was like, oh my God, I really want the shirt, but Corpse Grinder.
This is before we knew that he was a teddy bear, yeah. Right? Before the internet and you know, well, the internet was there at that point, but the explosion of having no privacy and everyone sharing everything, yeah. On social media.
Yeah.
When the illusion was still present that he was actually a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. He's quite a big guy.
Teddy bear.
Oh, yeah.
I've toured with him. Excellent, super nice, cool too.
Oh, cool.
How about your first time on stage?
My first time on stage, I was doing a double shift. So I was playing drums with another band, and then it was with Evile. But at the time, we were called Metal Militia, so it was just Metallica covers. Mm. It was in a place called Halifax over here. It was kind of like college students were there getting drunk for the first time kind of thing. And someone got a brick thrown at their face, and there was blood everywhere. Jeez. All over, and it was a pretty cool first gig, to be honest. yeah, my first experience was just, it was bizarre because we were playing to a crowd who did not give a shit about heavy music. You know, they're like, I don't know, U2 and Arctic Monkeys. Some of the other bands were playing that kind of stuff, and then we came on and it was Metallica, and everyone was just like,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah. So it was a weird
we're trying
one.
To have conversations.
Yeah, it was a strange one, but it was cool.
It's those early gigs, right? You got to get that gig. It doesn't matter what the bill is. You just want to get onto that stage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you have to. You got to climb out of the jam room and get up onto the stage, because every show is worth 7 jams. I tell kids this all the time.
Yeah, true. I mean, if we ever played a gig where there was literally no one there, we just treat it like a paid rehearsal, you know? It doesn't matter.
Which definitely happens sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Even at our level.
We had one of the funniest ones. We were, I think we were in Wales or something. And, you know, we were Evile, we were playing thrash metal, you know, in the vein of Metallica. And no one was there. And then two guys walked in with Metallica shirts on. We were like, yes. They stood there for 30 seconds and left.
No.
Well, okay. Okay.
And if you can't win, you can't win sometimes. Yeah. How about the last show that you saw before everything got shut down?
It was Testament with Exodus and Death Angel in Manchester. It was really good, but it was strange because we all knew it was going to lock down the day after that. So everyone was a bit... Because in England, basically, the news happened that coronavirus exists. And for weeks, we just Owl Country just sat there like, what should we do? So everyone was saying, we've got to lock down, and we weren't, but it got to the crunch time of that gig. We were at the gig, we were like, we're going to lock down tomorrow, aren't we? It's like, yeah, we are. So everyone was on edge, I think. It was really strange. But cool gig anyway.
Absolutely. And then that became the tour where a lot of the people, they were the first metal celebrities to fall ill.
Yeah.
But with the COVID, with coronavirus.
As you'll know, a tour bus is the worst place to have viruses going around. Because everyone has it.
Yep, even if it's just a simple cold, it will travel throughout the entire tour bus, because even though we're, you know, touring at the level that we tour at, the tour buses that we get don't have the best ventilation systems.
Yes, if any.
And, you know, we're hanging out, we're close proximity, we're handling money at a merch table. It's, you got to have a strong, strong immune system.
And if you're a metal kid, you probably don't have one.
We work on it. We work out. We eat healthy.
Yeah. Fair enough.
The beer doesn't help, but let's talk about Hell Unleashed. You're back in the band on vocals. That must have been fun. Come in attacking a record as a vocalist. This is the first time in a while, no?
It was hard because I didn't expect to have to do vocals. I mean, mm-hmm. I can sing, you know, I can sing clean, I can shout, but I don't know how to do it healthily. I'm still learning now with Melissa Cross. She's really helping me. And
amazing.
My problem was I can't not do it from my throat. So, you know, it really hurts and I can taste blood after it and it's just really bad. So I was really scared about doing it in the studio. We had 2 weeks. We did 1 week's worth of vocals and we listened back and it was really bad. It was bad. And me and Chris Clancy, he worked with me on techniques because he was taught by Melissa as well. And just one day it clicked and I found like my way of doing it. And I was so grateful because it really saved the album. It was just like, yeah, now we can get on with it, you know, but it was daunting at first, but I've got a lot more confidence now, so all good.
I can only imagine that moment of when you went in to re-listen to that whole week's worth of work and where you're realizing and everyone else probably has already realized that this is not working.
Yeah, it sounded like I was talking loud and it just didn't work, but it worked out in the end. Yeah.
Before being a vocalist, I'm extremely curious. Before you were in the studio tracking this, had you screamed in a while? Did you used to scream on stage? Were you the guy that used to do backups?
I was just backing vocals, you know, so I'd just do the... It wasn't even serious. It would just be like, you know, making fun, like shouting death and stuff, you know.
Okay, yeah.
So I didn't really have a technique. It was just shout now and then. Oh, that hurt a bit. Oh well, carry on. I didn't know anything about vocals or training or warm ups or anything like that, and I've learned so much in the past 6 months. It's unbelievable.
Another very lucky circumstance with the pandemic to have that time.
Yeah,
because if you were just thrown on tour, you would have probably blown your voice.
Yeah,
still being a metal machine, kept doing it night after night until you probably did some permanent damage.
Yeah, so I'm really grateful for that. We have a gig in, I think our next one is in July, if it happens. Nice. So I've got a few more months to, you know, get it down.
Talk to me about, I've been using Melissa Cross since about 2006. Every time before I scream, it's something that I just go through her warm-ups. I only really use the warm-ups. I never did personal lessons with her. Did you actually book a lesson with her?
Well I started doing, she does a three course thing. It's speak, sing and scream. So I'm going through that, but I'm also speaking to her. And the other day I sent her voice notes of me singing Frank Sinatra songs.
Nice.
Just as a test for something. And it's really helping me out because she's pointing out things that I need to do differently. And, you know, as you know, vocals are so complicated.
It's a mystery. It's because you can't say, put your fingers here.
Yeah.
Hold the pick like this. No, your technique is wrong on like a double stroke on a drum, double bass, the swivel technique. It's all here.
Exactly.
It's muscle control and it's air placement. It's many magical things happening at once when you nail it.
And I think the hardest thing for me is if you think about singing too much, you can't sing. You have to be able
to. And you're playing guitar.
Yes. Yeah. So I have to switch off to sing, but I also have to think about playing and singing.
It's crazy. I could never do that. It's crazy. And this is me being pure advice for you right now, is once you master it in the studio, that's one thing. Then you have to master it in the jam room, doing full sets. That's another thing that's extremely difficult. And then the even harder step is taking it live, because then the adrenaline is there and then you're not putting those thoughts into motion to connect. It's get ready, because it's fun.
Yeah. I'm studying the lyrics, you know, I'm doing everything I can, but I know for a fact as soon as I get up there, I'll be like,
I forget. It happens to me every time I stop screaming for a while. I come in and I do some screams, and it's typically my fry scream that I forget how to do it or to make it come out properly. And I'm like, God, I come home from every jam, first jam, I tell my wife, I suck. It's over. It's finished.
Yeah.
The next jam is always better, but it takes that time to reconnect with your muscles. And always, first show of every tour sucks. I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but for Cryptopsy, absolutely a horror show.
I think it takes us two or three to get into it. So yeah, I understand.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. Let's talk about how you guys have been staying in contact with your fans. I've seen that you've been doing a bunch of Twitch stuff where you play your tracks at a higher tempo. I think that's super cool that you do that. But what else has Evil been doing to stay in contact with their fans during the pandemic?
To be honest, not much. We've been so busy with the album that now it's out, we can finally properly interact. So I'm doing my Twitch. We're all on Instagram, Twitter, and everything like that. We just didn't want to overshare before the album came out, because it's been 8 years since the last Evil album.
And
for us to constantly be online saying what we're doing, I think it's just rubbing salt in the wound for some people. It was just like, you know, just shut up and release the album, you know. So it's a breath of fresh air to be able to just have the album out now, and we can talk and interact and everything.
You did do some cool things on the record. You got Brian Posehn on Gore. I think that's super sick. How did that come together? He's one of, you know, the most important comedic metal humans on the planet. How did you get him on your record?
He's actually been on one before. Back in, I think, 2010.
Has he?
Yeah. 2010, someone sent me a screenshot of the Sarah Silverman show, and it was Brian wearing an Evil shirt. And I was like,
really?
Holy shit. So I got talking to him. He did backing vocals on our song Cult back in 2011. It's kind of like our anthemic kind of song. But it wasn't really, you know, advertised or headlines saying Brian Posehn, blah, blah. But this time around, it's a lot more, you know, it says featuring Brian Posehn in the song and everything. And it wasn't really meant to be that. I just emailed him like, oh, do you want to do some backing vocals again? Yeah, cool. Okay. We didn't mean for it to be like Eval taps Brian Posehn for da-da-da. You know, it was just an innocent email, but oh well. But yeah, he's a really cool guy, and the fact that he took the time to do that in between doing all his, you know, God-tier work is just amazing, really cool.
I'm sure it means so much to him, too. If he's a, you know, when you're a fan of a band and you get to be a part of it, I'm sure he's just as stoked as you guys were to have him on it.
Yeah, I hope so. I remember we played the Whiskey in 2010, and he was going to get up on stage and we were going to play Creeping Death. Hmm. And we were all psyched. We were like, yeah, Brian's coming to play Metallica. And then he got to the show and was like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, not bad. Are you ready to play? And he just went, I don't want to do it.
That's when you got to push him, just that one extra push.
Yeah, he did a
word. Come on, Ryan. Yeah.
No. It did happen.
Evile is going to go on the road, is going to tour eventually after, you know, everything comes back to normal. Will this be one of the first times you're out on the road without your brother?
Yeah, the first time, yeah. He's been in the band since 1999 when we started doing the covers. And, I mean, we know it's been coming for a while because we were waiting for the lyrics and the vocals for so long that we just thought he doesn't have time for this anymore. And it will be weird, but also Matt kind of kept himself to himself a lot. So after shows and stuff, if we went out somewhere, Matt just wasn't a going out person. A vocalist, he liked to rest his voice and, you know, not be around smoky areas. So I do understand. But, you know, it will be weird. I don't know until I do it, you know. It's going to be weird. I don't know. It's weird.
It's a strange thing. I've done it with my bassist, Ollie, plays in Cattle Decapitation as well. And there was a tour, one of our last tours, which is basically 2 years ago now. It baffles me when I think about that. He was in the studio with Cattle, and we had a good friend, Dom Grimal, on tour with us. But I remember the first few nights looking around and feeling like something was missing. We had Dom that was there as an extra, but Ollie's like a big personality. So it felt like there was a void. So I can imagine it will take some time to adapt being out on the road without him.
Yeah, I mean, we're rehearsing now and we're kind of looking at it like back to square one, you know, it's a fresh start. So with that angle, it's okay, you know, Matt did amazing work and now we're looking at it like this is the new incarnation of Evile. So it's not a problem, it's just a bit strange.
No. You're definitely also going to have to adapt your party lifestyle being the vocalist.
But I've got you probably understand. I've got two kids. I haven't drunk in a while, and if I have one beer, it's like it goes straight to my head now. I'm at that point, yeah. Because when my Mrs. Natalie was pregnant, I thought I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to be that guy. So
you're a good husband.
I'll stop. And then the baby's born, and then I didn't feel like drinking again. I was like, no, I'll leave it for a while. But then I got back on it, and then another baby, no more drinking. And especially with learning with Melissa and the vocal stuff, unfortunately, I suffer from acid reflux, and alcohol isn't the best thing to have. So I'm just trying to find my balance with everything, you know, all the things that flare it up and, yeah.
The joys of being a singer, but I appreciate that you care so much and that you're taking it seriously and you're just going to kill it. You're going to kill it. I want to talk about you filling in on guitar with people working with people. You filled in with Destruction, Guar, but the one that I'm most curious about is Tim Mitchum, who I love.
Yeah.
How did this happen? If people don't know who Tim Mitchum is, he's an Australian comedic musician.
Yeah.
He would be the best description.
Yeah, he's so good.
A genius.
I don't 100% know the background of how or why it happened. I know that Tim tweeted something saying, I'm playing at Sonisphere this weekend in the UK. Are there any musicians there that anyone knows of that would get up and play? And that was the last I knew. Now, apparently, our manager at the time, Julie Weir, she met him at a party, like the night before the festival, maybe the two nights before the festival, and just mentioned my name. And then she didn't hear anything. And then the day of the festival, it was like, you're going to play with Tim Minchin. And I was like, okay, what song are we playing? It's like Rock and Roll Nerd. Like, I'm a fan of Tim Minchin, but I don't know his songs as well as I know a Slayer song or anything. So it was literally me with a phone with the song, learning it. I think I listened to it three times. And then I got to meet Tim, and then we did an air rehearsal. We there was nowhere to rehearse the song, so it was literally me stood in front of Tim Minchin, him going da 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 on the people, and I was there with the guitar going da 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 da. And that's what we did. And he said, right, I'll be playing the song, and then I'll look at you and I'll do this, and then you come on and you start playing, and then we'll finish the song on the Stairway to Heaven. And it was quite funny because he said, I don't need to ask you if you can play Stairway to Heaven, right? You're a guitarist. It's like, yeah, I can play. And it was really cool. You know, I had lunch with him as well, and he's a really, really cool guy. And I'm not even saying that because everyone says that about people, oh, he's a nice guy, but he's really, really nice. He's great. Really cool guy.
Huge fan, love what he does. And when I saw that you were connected, I was like, I have to ask him.
Yeah.
It's just too cool. It's the crossing of worlds. You know, he's not metal at all. But he's extremely talented, very witty, sharp wit, funny as hell. Love it. And catchy songs.
Yeah, he's that. He's great. And it was such a surreal day. It was very weird, but great. Yeah,
I love it. If Evile could make a beer with a craft beer, you mentioned that you don't want anything high ABV. What style of beer would you make and what would you call it?
We've actually been having this discussion recently because of the brewery that's near us. And I was saying it'd be great to have an Evile beer. We've got a few song titles that I think would make a cool name for a beer. Like we've done a song about the film The Thing from 1982. And I thought The Thing would be cool, just going to have a thing. But we also, our third album is called Five Serpent's Teeth. And we actually brought out an energy drink called Serpent Venom. And I thought something along the lines of Venom or, I don't know, something like that would be cool. But I think Joel and Ben, our bassist and drummer, are a lot more into the IPAs and stuff. So I think they'd lead more towards the darker, heavier kind of stuff, which, you know, I'd be fine with because I do like it. I just need to get used to it. So probably something like that.
You need to get onto tour and make a few bad decisions and explore some craft beers. When you got a day off the next day and you could rest your voice and not have to wake up with the little ones in the morning. Let's wrap this up with one last question. Classic Vox and Hops wrap-up question. It doesn't happen to you recently because you've been a very, very good human, taking care of your voice, taking care of your children, staying sober with your pregnant partner. But every once in a while, it happens to everyone. What is your hangover cure?
Oh, wow. If I'm completely honest, everything I've tried that everyone says is a hangover cure never worked for me. So all I do is drink lots of water and feel really sorry for myself. That's all I can do. Nothing else works. So I don't really have a cure.
It's amazing. I love it. I love it. And it's very true because, you know, a hangover is just massive dehydration. So you're onto the right step right there.
I think like a burger, you know, like greasy food, something horrible, you know.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time hanging out with me, talking about your life, metal, and craft beer. I love it. Everyone, go listen to Hell Unleashed. It came out on April 30th via Napalm Records. I'm stoked about it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time hanging out with me. I really appreciated it. Cheers.
No, thanks for having me, Matt. Cheers.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, I had a great chat with Ole. I really appreciate the fact that he took a nap, woke up to have a chat with me, and then had to go back to bed because he had to work the next day. Very grateful for that because we had an awesome conversation. I feel like we really connected. I can't wait to hang out with Ole again in person. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. You can do that on my website. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. So please do me a favor, sign up to that mailing list, because there's just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, I would hate for you to miss a single thing. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I have one more episode coming up this Friday, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series
about how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app
and subscribe now.